supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Dave Heller. Thanks for joining us for a special Thanksgiving edition of Newsworks Tonight. Thanksgiving is the quintessential American holiday, a time to gather family and friends and give thanks for what we have. It's also a time that reminds us of another staple of life in the United States, the American dream. We're a nation of immigrants. Even the Mayflower descendants come from immigrant stock, and this country remains a destination for many seeking a better life. WHYY's Kimberly Haas met some of Philadelphia's newest residents when she attended a special Thanksgiving gathering.
New arrivals to the U.S. come from many countries and cultures, and they all can appreciate a warm welcome, plus a little help learning what this country and our city are all about. For nearly 100 years, the Nationalities Service Center, or NSC, has been helping immigrants and refugees navigate their new home.
We welcome the world to Philadelphia.
Executive Director Margaret O'Sullivan.
We serve over 5,000 immigrants and refugees a year from over 120 countries. Everything from refugee resettlement to legal services to ESL to a wide range of health and wellness programming for immigrants and refugees. We work with each refugee upon their arrival, those that are ready to enter the workforce. We help to get them ready in terms of English proficiency and acclimated to the American workplace.
Beyond those practicalities, for the past decade or so, the Nationalities Service Center has hosted a Thanksgiving celebration for their clients.
It's a way to memorialize their journey and to welcome them formally to this incredible American tradition.
Last Saturday, about 200 refugees and volunteers gathered at the Arch Street Methodist Church to enjoy a day of music, dancing, and socializing. When they sat down to a Thanksgiving dinner, the table included some familiar foods like samosas and falafel. But many of the diners were eager to try some new things.
Today I ate different foods about Thanksgiving.
Pascal Lubira came to Philadelphia earlier this year from the Democratic Republic of Congo by way of Uganda.
The food is very nice, and especially like taki. Taki, yeah, it's very nice. I like it.
As they celebrate side by side with other refugees and longtime Philadelphia residents, the newcomers seem to overcome some of the isolation immigrants can experience. Fuad Sakmini came to the United States in July from his native Syria after spending 4 years in Thailand. He says he looks forward to ways of assimilating into American life.
It's very important to have friends who are Americans, not only Arab. So I'm trying to adapt with the culture, to adapt with the attitude of people here. So, yeah, I think I'm doing good with it.
To stretch its resources, the nonprofit NSC relies on partners in the business sector, companies looking for ways to give back and to provide volunteer opportunities for their staff. The servers at the Thanksgiving celebration came from WebLink, a Philadelphia-based tech company. Stacy Wynn Sarno is director of community engagement at WebLink.
We have fundraised for NSC to be able to present the meal. We help the caterer cook. We serve. We help provide entertainment, whatever we can to like make it a special event for all the newly arrived refugees.
The NSC clients come from a long roster of countries and cultures and with a wide range of backgrounds. They belie the image of the tired, poor, huddled masses welcomed by the Statue of Liberty. Executive Director Margaret O'Sullivan says they want employers to know about the skill sets many refugees bring with them.
Our refugees have done everything from farming, so a lot of them go into the agricultural sector. But we also have a significant amount that are coming with higher level skills. You know, war and conflict and ethnic strife really have no barriers in terms of the people that they impact. And we have a cadre of employers that over time have worked with us on hiring our refugees.
In the midst of their volunteer work for NSC, WebLink became one of those employers. Stacy Wynn Sarno.
Lots of people come through with all kinds of skills. Some of them had been forced from their homes who were attorneys or doctors or accountants or marketing people or technology people.
Abdul Bundu Kamara is in that last category. He left his native Sierra Leone, spent time in Ghana, and then arrived in Philadelphia earlier this year. He now applies his tech skills at WebLink.
While I'm a front-end developer, we really built an interface for a web page so that when you go to the website and the things that you see, we are the one that try to patch up those pieces so that they look good for you.
Having shared the joys of an American Thanksgiving with their clients, perhaps the next item the Nationality Service Center needs to tackle is to introduce them to a real Philadelphia winter. Abdul Bundu Kamara says they've taken care of that, too.
Yes, I'm ready. Yeah, I've got a lot of gifts with coats. So now that I started to feel the cold, that I realized why the gifts were coming on with jackets. And I got a lot of jackets. And so it's good. I'm prepared for the winter.
Kimberly Haas, WHYY News.
Each Thanksgiving on Newsworks Tonight, we hear from a chef in our region about one central aspect of the holiday, food. Today, our guest is a former client of the Nationalities Service Center. Though in her professional life she brings her native Malaysian cuisine to Philadelphia, at home on Thanksgiving, she takes a different approach.
Very American, because my husband is American, so I do celebrate Thanksgiving here.
I'm Angie Branca. I'm the chef and owner of Satay Kampar, traditional Malaysian cuisine.
Because, you know, this is where I learned about Thanksgiving. When I came over here, I didn't know what it was. And I love to make a turkey. I love to stuff the turkey and bake it and, you know, do other, you know, the traditional American Thanksgiving meal. I do enjoy that. One of the best things about growing up in Malaysia is the holidays. We probably celebrate almost every cultural, religious holiday there is on the planet. We celebrate Chinese New Year, we celebrate Eid, we celebrate Taipusam and Diwali. We also celebrate Christmas. I mean, every holiday you can think of. And it's always a big festival. The food is, of course, a big part of the festival. And the food is always very different for all these different holidays. Malaysian cuisine is very unique. Imagine Indian, Chinese, and the flavors of Southeast Asia, like a combination of the coconut cream that you get in Thai food and the freshness of gingers and galangal that you would get in some of the Southeast Asian or Filipino food. Imagine those three cultures all blended together into a dish. That's what Malaysian food is. It's very unique that way. I really like the idea of having a Thanksgiving meal every year. I think it's wonderful. It's a wonderful time to bring everyone together. The only thing that I probably haven't gotten used to or acquired a taste for is the cranberry jelly. But other than that, everything else is lovely. I love it.
That's Chef Angie Branca of Satay Kampar Restaurant. Once upon a time, the phrase American cuisine might have been heard as an oxymoron or the punchline of a joke. Fast food, TV dinners, processed and packaged food all gave American dining a deservedly bad rap. Author Gabrielle Langholz wants to debunk that image. She's visited all 50 states and relishes the regional ingredients and recipes that have been beloved for generations. And she also values the contributions of new Americans who bring their native cuisines to the table. Her new cookbook is called America, A Culinary Road Trip Through the 50 States. Gabrielle, thanks for joining us on Newsworks Tonight.
Thanks for having me.
This book is a collaboration with guest authors from each of the 50 states, yet you did not delegate the legwork, having traveled to all those states yourself over time.
I certainly did. It was a monster project and a lot of fun. And I had actually already been to all 50 states at the time that I got this assignment, and I revisited about 22 in the course of my research while working on the book.
And you credit your parents, an anthropologist and a psychologist, who
yes.
early on took you in the back of their car and hauled
yes.
you around.
My dad was in the service, and then my parents were both college professors. I was born in Indiana. We lived in Kentucky, California, 6 years in Alaska, 6 years in Oklahoma, New York City for high school, Virginia, Colorado, and now I live in Pennsylvania in beautiful Bucks County.
You've written this book as a refutation of the misconception that American food is homogenized, processed, bland.
Yes, exactly. The notion of American cuisine, even the phrase American cuisine, some might take as a punchline or an oxymoron. And I think America has earned a negative reputation for fast food, processed food. But I wanted this book to say America has a big, beautiful, regional, multicultural, diverse menu with many fresh foods and wild foods, and there's a lot more to the story than the burger.
One of the regions most aptly represented in the book is Amish cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
What might be some recipes found on a Thanksgiving table from that cuisine?
Well, Pennsylvania Dutch, of course, actually means Pennsylvania Deutsch, so German immigrants. And so many potatoes, many coal crops. So coal, of course, meaning cabbage, cauliflower, collards, kale, Brussels sprouts, many potatoes, dairy foods and grains. And that's part of what I really wanted to say with this book, that that kind of regionalism is alive and well. And if you stick to the highways and you stick to the chains, you won't find it. And if you get off into the back roads and into home kitchens and family businesses, it's still there to be savored.
You refer to potatoes in Pennsylvania, yet we merely need go to Delaware and learn about Delaware potato pie.
Absolutely. I had never heard of Delaware potato pie until one of the contributor chefs, Harry Cameron from Amuse in Rehoboth Beach, he contributed a recipe for Delaware potato pie, which I, of course, love sweet potato pie, and I'm sure many people ate sweet potato pie today. But this is actually a white potato. It's an unusual regional dish that is similar to mashed potatoes, but sweetened with vanilla, nutmeg, cream.
A custard.
Taken to absolutely custard and baked in a pie shell.
Thanksgiving. It's America, of course, but it's also a celebration of the cuisines from immigrants who came here from foreign lands as well.
Absolutely. And in thinking about Thanksgiving and what the meal means and the stories we tell and why we celebrate Thanksgiving, I like to take my menu in one of two directions. Foremost, Thanksgiving is really literally giving thanks, a celebration of harvest, especially of wild foods, things that are native to this land, things that were eaten by the native people who were here originally. So I love, especially on a Thanksgiving, I mean, thinking about foods that are native here and beloved by Native people. So already on the table, we have corn, pumpkin, turkey, cranberry. So those all fit right in with that. And it's easy to keep going with that and do wild rice and oysters and persimmon, maybe a chowder with local seafood. So I love going in that direction, the true native foods, grapes, of course, maple already on the table so often. But I also love taking the meal in a different direction and really celebrating the contributions of immigrants. So many of the foods that we think of as quintessential American foods, people don't realize, in fact, I didn't realize, were brought here by immigrants over time. Pork, chicken, beef. I mean, you know, that's most of the American menu right there. Not today, but most days of the year. And even when you think about the hamburger, the hot dog, beer, I mean, these are the most, you know, famously American foods, and they're brought by German immigrants. Or more recently, I mean, my, you know, grandfather Nunzio Moretti bringing spaghetti and meatballs and macaroni and cheese. I mean, these are the things that we think of as the kids' menu of the most American foods, but they're all brought by immigrants. So today when we think about, oh, let's go out for ethnic food, let's go out for Indian food or sushi or Filipino food, those are just the most recent in a long line of foods and ingredients and recipes that Americans have been bringing here over the centuries.
Well, thank you so much for all the enticements and all the contributors in this book and all the work you've done to help put it together. Enjoy what's left of this Thanksgiving and many more to come.
Same to you. Thank you.
Gabrielle Langholtz, author of America the Cookbook, a culinary trip through the 50 states. You're listening to a special Thanksgiving edition of Newsworks Tonight on WHYY. I'm Dave Heller. StoryCorps, the popular NPR segment, is sponsoring the Great Thanksgiving Listen, inviting young people to interview their elders using an app to record their own stories. Over Thanksgiving weekend, high school students from across the country are creating personal oral histories by recording interviews with older friends and family members. Up next, we have a local conversation from the project. 82-year-old West Philadelphia resident Maddie Daniel and her granddaughter Savannah Mann have a special relationship. Mann is now a senior at Science Leadership Academy, but when she was 8 years old, her mother died and her grandmother played an important role in her life. Though Daniels credits her granddaughter for giving her the strength to fight and survive breast cancer.
I'm kind of jumping ahead in your life to what I know of a little bit. Since you being a two-time breast cancer survivor, has it changed you and how?
It did change me. I was not the same person after I was diagnosed. When I was diagnosed, it was like the only time in my life that I really did need to be strong and fight this. I had a lot of good doctors and good medical people that convinced me that I should fight it, and they had something to help me. So I went in this study. I had gone through the 7th treatment, and I was supposed to take 8 treatments of chemo and then the radiation after that. And I started getting numb fingers and numb feet, which still is numb. And they wouldn't give me the 8th treatment because they said it would be detrimental to my life. So I didn't have the full treatments. But it was a change in me because of her situation. I knew her mother had gone through extreme illness. You know, she was married to my youngest son, and she was like a daughter to me. And we cared a lot about each other. I hated to see her suffer the way she did with that lupus that she had. And I prayed and I prayed and I asked God to let me survive so that I could see her graduate from high school. And it's going to happen in a few months. My wanting to survive because I thought that she, or I felt that she would be needing me. I came from my last, that treatment that they said would have killed me if they had given it to me. I left that treatment. She was born that day in that hospital. I walked from the chemo center to the OBGYN where she and her mother, and that was the first time I saw her. And I promised her mother, because she was very sick, that I would be there for her, not to worry about her. I am going to live for this child. And here I am, 18 years later, still living for this child. That was one of the happiest days of my life, too.
Do you think about dying? Are you scared? No. How do you feel?
Nope. I feel like when it's time, I will just go to sleep. After I've done as much as I possibly can do for all of my children and my grandchildren, I've done just about everything I was able to do. The rest is up to them.
I'm going to miss you. Wherever, like, even, like, I always miss you, but even if, like, you're not here, or even when you are here, and I go to college, and you're, like, all the way up here, and I'm all the way down there, and if you decide to, like, move back to Virga, so I'll only be, like, a couple hours away, but I always miss you. Always.
That's natural, that you're gonna miss me, but I'm not going anywhere. Until you land dead on your feet, then I'll go, bye. And I've always said that. Lie down and out of here. Peacefully.
Thank you for doing this. Even though you were like super nervous when I told you.
You think I was nervous?
No.
I was pretty relaxed. Yeah. You pleased?
Yeah.
Our great Thanksgiving listen with Philadelphia resident Maddie Daniel and her granddaughter Savannah Mann was produced by WHYY's Jeanette Woods. Finally this evening, we have one more food story. Shola Olunloyo is one of Philadelphia's most creative and elusive chefs. His private dinners are a hot ticket that attract a loyal fan base. WHYY-TV's Friday Arts program followed the chef as he teamed up recently with Carol and Barry Savoy, owners of Savoy Organic Farm in Williamstown, New Jersey, to prepare a literal farm-to-table dinner experience at their farm.
So today's the day of the dinner. We have four lamb legs slowly roasting, and we just continue to rotate so we get even heat. And then also we have some pork shoulders here. We just need to pull them back from fire. This is sort of the highlight of the main dish, which is roasted meats and vegetables from the farm. The potatoes, the Swiss chard, garlic, roasted peppers. So kind of the whole dinner has a campfire feel. It's going to be delicious. I am Nigerian. I spend a lot of time in mostly Western Europe, a little bit in Southeast Asia. I see myself as just a citizen of the world. I've traveled to a lot of places. My culinary outlook is just flavor, really. I've dabbled in every aspect of the entire spectrum of food, from making raw salads to cooking with lab equipment. In all honesty, good food exists right in the middle. I'm kind of going back to basically what my culinary childhood is, which is cooking with fire outside, making food that just tastes really good. Minimal ingredients, but natural and good ingredients. All right, this is go. And then mixed greens, please.
Do you want another? Oh, no, that can take
yeah. Off. And then I'll take the head, the mixed greens, the lettuces, and then grab me the arugula.
You want me to keep this?
Yes, keep this. Oh, no, it's fine. Yeah, okay, that's just for surface.
Bring you back the arugula?
Yeah, arugula next. Okay. Thank you. Find a seat, grab a table, grab some vegetables. First of all, thank you for coming to the farm. It's very important to understand this dinner is about the farm. So tonight is supposed to be a celebration of vegetables. Literally farm to table. The food is not about cuisine or process or technology. It's just a bunch of vegetables in very classic forms, from raw to cooked to pickled to roasted. And then we have a couple of roasts. Just slowly roasted traditional style over wood and charcoal. Nothing fancy. The sauces are fancy, but the meat is basic. So, again, I've been cooking since 10, 2 days ago. So please enjoy your dinner. Get to it.
There's more on Chef Olunloyo and the Savoy's Farm Dinner on Friday Arts, tomorrow evening at 8:30 on WHYY-TV. That's all for tonight's show. We hope you enjoyed our special Thanksgiving edition of Newsworks Tonight. The show is produced by Shai Ben-Yaakov, Kimberly Haas, and Brett Rader, with help this evening from Jeanette Woods. Thanks for joining us. And from all of us at Newsworks Tonight and WHYY, happy Thanksgiving. I'm Dave Heller, Newsworks Tonight.